Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, God bless you, and welcome to The Watchmen. I'm Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. You're listening to the Omega Radio Network 24/7. I want to tell you a little story before I get deep into our conversation today. And folks, I'm telling you, put your seatbelts on. We're going to go through a journey, and hopefully the Holy Spirit's going to clarify some very important things. But I was up around 1 o'clock in the morning, and I just could not sleep last night. I don't know why. Everything is good. And I just thought, well, I'm going to get up and I'm going to read out of the book of Galatians. And so I got up, and because I've been studying the book of Galatians, and was getting into chapter 6. And then I read a little bit of Ephesians after that and spent, you know, some time in the Word, and was tired enough to go back to bed and give it another shot. And I was a little restless, just couldn't close my eyes. And so I thought, well, I'm going to, I tapped Patricia on the shoulder because I kind of felt like she was a little awake as well. And I said, do you mind if I turn on, you know, the radio station? We have our phones, you know, like everybody else, unfortunately, next to the bed, and Omega Radio. I said, let me see what's on there. So I turned the Omega Radio Network on. It's, we have a little app. You could put one on your phone if you wanted to, or, and I started listening. I couldn't believe, folks, I'm telling you, the revelation, the message, the kingdom message, the gospel of Jesus Christ on the Omega Radio Network was absolutely amazing. Some of the great programs that are designed to equip and prepare the saints of God, it was absolutely amazing. And I finally, after listening to one of the programs, fell out to sleep, woke up around 7:30 this morning. I got a little extra rest, and I woke up to David Wilkerson and Billy Graham, and Billy Graham's message that I uploaded months ago and continue to replay it was Remember Lot's Wife, and it was absolutely phenomenal. I'm telling you that this Omega Radio Network needs to be heard by people everywhere, and the only way that people are ever going to be able to hear what God is doing is they need to be told. And so I'm going to encourage you today, if it's possible, for you to get the message out everywhere. Tune in to www.omegaradio.org. Send it out to your family, your friends. They can listen any time of the day, and they're going to find something because God's hand is upon it. It really is a very anointed, internet radio station broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And so I was just super blessed, and I am super blessed this morning. And I just have a few things. I need to read two articles to you, all right? I want to start with one. As I said, put your seatbelts on. You're not going to believe the stuff that's going on in this world. But you know, we know together, let's just be very clear, that God has put the cup to the lips of rebellious nations, and they are going to drink. And when they drink, they're going to go mad. Remember in Romans chapter 1, God turns them over to their desire. And when they partake of their desire, they go mad. They get crazy. Well, folks, listen to this. A drag queen reads during worship service as Cincinnati Church celebrates Pride Month. I'm not making this up. The building caretaker of a Presbyterian church in Cincinnati, Ohio, dressed up in drag to read a book in scheduled children's time during the Sunday, June 16, worship service. The Cincinnati Inquirer reports Dan Davidson, dressed up as Spark Lay, complete with a purple dress, makeup, high heels, and a glitter beard, and stood at the Mount Auburn Presbyterian Church door greeting members and visitors. Following the song, God Welcomes All, by the church choir, Davidson walked up on stage and read the book, Pride, the story of Harvey Milk and the rainbow flag, to the audience. The story was intended for children, some of whom sat at Davidson's feet during the reading. And here's what he said. Harvey dreamed that everyone, even gay people, would have equality. Davidson read. He dreamed that one day people would be able to live and love as they pleased. Davidson has performed as a drag queen in Seattle, Washington, before he moved to Ohio last month, according to the newspaper. At another point during the service, a man stood up and told the audience the story of his coming out. That means he's telling everybody that he's no longer in the closet. Mount Auburn Presbyterian, a member church of the PCUSA, okay, the Presbyterian Church USA, is celebrating Pride Month throughout June, the Inquirer reported. Gay pride flags cover the halls, and rainbow candles are on the church's stage. As CBN News reported earlier this month, a liberal church in Texas sponsored a drag queen story hour for children after the local library canceled the event. KVUE in Austin reports that Open Cathedral Church in Leander rented a room in the public library and hosted the event scheduled for June 15th. The church paid the fees to rent out the room, which is available to all members of the public to rent. At the time of publication, 400 people had responded that they planned to attend the event. The church renamed the event from Drag Queen Storytime to Leander Family Pride Festival, according to the television station. Open Cathedral Church is a progressive church that embraces LGBTQ ideology. Lead minister Ryan Hart said the church has received an overwhelming amount of positive feedback from both their members and the Leander community as a whole. He said they expressed there has been a need in the community for a drag queen event like this. While CBN News has previously reported about numerous events targeting young children with LGBTQ activism, including a middle school in North Carolina that invited two drag queens to speak with students about their personal identity and gender. The drag queen spoke on a panel and encouraged the children to celebrate LGBTQ lifestyles. Well, how about this one? Elizabeth Warren wants to give $57 million in taxpayer money as reparations to LGBT couples. That's right. Last week, Democrats wanted the federal government to pay reparations for slavery. Now, Democratic presidential hopeful Senator Elizabeth Warren wants to spend taxpayer money to give tax refund reparations to same-sex couples who had to file as individuals before their marriage were recognized by the federal government. Warren has introduced a bill named S-1940. That's Senate Bill 1940, known as the Refund Equality Act, which would force the federal government to pay refunds to homosexual couples that they would have allegedly received before the Supreme Court legalized same-sex marriage in the case of Obergefell versus Hodges in 2015. And here's the quote. The federal government forced legally married same-sex couples in Massachusetts to file as individuals and pay more in taxes for almost a decade, Warren tweeted. We need to call out that discrimination and to make it right. Congress should pass the Refund Equality Act immediately. Folks, California lawmakers are trying to force pastors to embrace pro-LGBT ideology. This is coming out of California. California Assemblyman Evan Lowe and 36 other lawmakers are pushing a resolution in the State Assembly Judiciary Committee that's aimed at telling religious leaders in California what they should preach from their pulpits. The California Family Council reports that Assembly Concurrent Resolution 99, or ACR 99, calls on counselors, pastors, religious workers, educators, and institutions with great moral influence to stop perpetuating the idea that something is wrong with LGBT identities or sexual behavior. ACR 99 also condemns attempts to change unwanted same-sex attraction or gender confusion as unethical, harmful, and leading to high rates of suicide. Two formerly gay individuals, pastors Ken Williams and Elizabeth Wanning, argue against the resolution, calling it discriminatory against people like themselves who overcame suicidal thoughts by following their faith from their LGBT identities. They now lead a ministry called Equipped to Love that helps others like them to find health and wholeness. For us, he said, walking out our faith with biblical conviction means life and hope. Our faith has saved us from suicide and given us freedom to live with clear consciences, Wanning said. We too would like to be acknowledged and affirmed. Instead, activists attack our efforts to care for like-minded friends by promoting dangerous counseling restrictions and stifling our free speech, she added. Williams feels the same way. For years, I believed that even God hated me because of my behavior, he said. But in my early 20s, I encountered a God who loved me despite my sins and temptations. Today, I love my life. I've been married to my beautiful wife for 13 years, and we have created 4 incredible children together. To someone like me, California Assemblyman Evan Lowe's proposed resolution, ACR 99, feels like an unfair and direct attack. So despite Lowe's claims that the resolution has the support of some California religious leaders, other pastors and religious leaders with a traditional view on gender and sexuality are publicly opposing ACR 99. I'll never forget how we fought when we were in California. I believe it was 2007, the Assembly Bill 777, I think it was, when it was all about homosexuality. We were passing out the tracts. We got deeply involved with some very powerful ministries, and still they lost the case because California is nuts. They are nuts. And I could go on with a lot of these different movements. And thank God for those that came out of the movement, and that's a beautiful thing, that those two pastors had once been, they called it what it was, their sin and temptation, and they found through their faith in Jesus Christ the ability to be free, and now they're wanting to tell that the state legislature in California, hey, don't restrict us from telling people that they can escape what is evil. You see, they don't want them to say it's evil. They want them to say it's really good. So with that being said, okay, I want to tell you what I saw this morning. But before I do, let me just go into one more article. This is kind of a shift, and then I'll put it all together, and we'll go into Word and see how this all is connecting. This article is coming out of Prophecy News Network, and it begins this way. If the U.S. goes to war with Iran, we won't just be fighting the Iranian military. In recent years, Hezbollah has grown into the most powerful terror organization that the world has ever seen. It is best known for causing all sorts of chaos in the Middle East, but today it has an extensive presence in Europe, Africa, Latin America, and North America. Hezbollah has made billions selling drugs inside the United States. And at one point, they had more than 70 used car dealers in this country through which they were laundering drug money. Of course, the primary source of funding for Hezbollah is Iran. Now, did you know that? Did you know that FBI speaking, I mean, speaking factually, that Hezbollah was running car dealerships? Well, how many do you think are running the gas stations? Come on. The terror organization was founded in 1985 with heavy support from Iran. And according to Wikipedia, most of its financial, training, weapons, explosive, political, diplomatic, and organizational aid currently comes from the Iranians. In essence, Hezbollah is Iran's terror arm. And so if we go to war with Iran, we will find ourselves in a conflict with Hezbollah as well. Most Americans have no idea what a full-blown conflict with Hezbollah could look like. For a moment, just imagine thousands of extremely well-trained terrorists shooting up and blowing up soft targets all across America. The sheer panic that would cause would immediately paralyze our entire society. But Iran always knew that if Hezbollah started conducting terror attacks in the United States, that we would blow them off the map. We made it exceedingly clear that we would hold Iran responsible for whatever Hezbollah did. And that prevented Hezbollah from hitting U.S. targets over the last couple of decades. However, if the U.S. and Iran get engaged in a full-blown war in the Middle East and missiles start flying all over the place, there won't be any reason for Hezbollah to hold back any longer. And last Friday, we literally came within 10 minutes of war with Iran. The following comes from Fox News, and I quote, "President Trump confirmed early Friday that he called off a retaliatory attack on Iran in response to the downing of a U.S. drone 10 minutes before the strike, saying the number of expected casualties was not proportionate to what Tehran did. In a stunning tweet thread, the president said the U.S. was cocked and loaded to retaliate with plans to hit three sites, but he reserved or reversed course after asking military leaders about how many would be killed." Well, just because that attack was pulled back does not mean that the threat is over. In fact, Trump is threatening Iran with obliteration like you've never seen before if they don't immediately come to the negotiating table and agree to end their nuclear weapons program. And let me just interject this morning on Fox News that because of the sanctions being imposed, the Iranians have said now there's no deal on the table. There's no way we're going to come. So things are moving progressively, like our friend Mark Davidson mentioned, who was the author of the book about the Great Iranian Invasion. We interviewed him last week. We're going to have him on again very soon. I continue in the article. President Donald Trump warned the United States may launch a devastating military attack on Iran unless it comes to the negotiating table and drops its bid to develop nuclear weapons. And he said, "I'm not looking for war. And if there is, it'll be obliteration like you've never seen before. But I'm not looking to do that. But you can have a nuclear war. But you," he says, "but you cannot have a nuclear weapon. You want to talk? Good. Otherwise, you can have a bad economy for the next 3 years," Trump said during an interview with NBC's Meet the Press airing Sunday. Of course, Iran isn't going to do that. In fact, the Iranians seem to be ready to rumble. On Sunday, there was a chant of "Death to America" by Iranian lawmakers on state radio. Here it is. "America is the real terrorist," they said, "in the world by spreading chaos in countries, giving advanced weapons to terrorist groups, causing insecurity. And still it says, come, let's negotiate." The parliament's deputy speaker, Massad Pezeshkian, said at the start of a session broadcast live on radio, state radio, "Death to America," chanted many lawmakers. The chants, often repeated since the 1979 Islamic Revolution, which toppled the U.S.-backed Shah, came weeks after Trump said in a U.S. television interview, "They," the Iranians, "haven't screamed death to America lately." Well, unlike our wars in Afghanistan and Iraq, if there is a war with Iran, it won't just be limited to the Middle East. Iran has an extremely sophisticated intelligence network of their own, and everyone agrees that they have many agents deeply embedded inside the United States. In fact, late last year, two of them were arrested and charged with espionage. The U.S. has charged, here's the article on that, the U.S. had charged two alleged agents of Iran, accusing them of conducting covert surveillance of Israeli and Jewish facilities in the United States and collecting intelligence on Americans linked to a political organization that wants to see the current Iranian government overthrown. Well, earlier this week, Ahmadreza Dostar, 38, a dual U.S.-Iranian citizen born in Long Beach, California, and Majid Gorbani, 59, who has lived and worked in Costa Mesa, California, since he arrived in the United States in the mid-1990s, were charged with acting as illegal agents for Tehran. Gorbani, who denies the charges, became a legal permanent resident of the United States in 2015. But without a doubt, Hezbollah is an even greater terror threat. If you are not that familiar with Hezbollah, here is a pretty good overview from the Heritage Foundation. Hezbollah regards terrorism not only as a useful tool for advancing its revolutionary agenda, but also as a religious duty as part of a global jihad. It helped to introduce and popularize the tactic of suicide bombings in Lebanon in the 1980s, developed a strong guerrilla force and a political apparatus in the 1990s, provoked a war with Israel in 2006, intervened in the Syrian civil war after 2011 at Iran's direction, and has become a major destabilizing influence in the ongoing Arab-Israeli conflict. Hezbollah murdered more Americans than any other terrorist group before 9/11. 2001. Despite Al-Qaeda's increased visibility since then, Hezbollah remains a bigger, better equipped, better organized, and potentially more dangerous terrorist organization, in part because it enjoys the support of the two chief state sponsors of terrorism in the world today, Iran and Syria. And as I stated earlier, today Hezbollah has become a global powerhouse. In fact, most Americans don't realize that Hezbollah has been extremely active inside the United States for a very long time. About a decade ago, a DEA operation discovered that Hezbollah was bringing in $1 billion a year from money laundering, criminal activities, and drug and weapons trade. But that operation was ultimately shut down by the Obama administration. The following comes from Newsweek magazine, and I quote, "Project Cassandra, a campaign launched by the Drug Enforcement Administration in 2008, found that the Iran-backed military and political organization collected $1 billion a year from money laundering, criminal activities, and drug and weapons trade, according to Politico. Over the following 8 years, the agency found that Hezbollah was involved in cocaine shipments from Latin America to West Africa, as well as through Venezuela and Mexico to the United States. The Obama administration halted Project Cassandra as it was approaching the upper echelons of Hezbollah's conspiracy in order to seal a nuclear deal with Iran, even though Hezbollah was still funneling cocaine into America. Officials at the U.S. Justice and Treasury Departments delayed the project's request to conduct relevant investigations, prosecutions, and arrests. Obama eventually helped strike the Iran deal with several other nations in 2015. Now, and according to Politico, one of the things that the operation uncovered was the fact that a lot of drug money was being laundered by buying American used cars and shipping them to Africa. They followed cocaine shipments, some from Latin America to West Africa and onto Europe and the Middle East, and others through Venezuela and Mexico to the United States. They tracked the river of dirty cash as it was laundered by, among other tactics, buying American used cars and shipping them to Africa. And with the help of some key cooperating witnesses, the agents traced the conspiracy, they believed, to the innermost circle of Hezbollah and its state sponsor in Iran. So again, as I noted earlier, at one point there were more than 70 used car dealers in the U.S. that were involved in this scheme. But thanks to Barack Obama, Project Cassandra was shut down before it could strike a decisive blow against Hezbollah's financial networks in the United States. And we could end up paying a great price for that negligence. Right now, there is no terror organization in the entire world that is better armed than Hezbollah. As I noted last week, said the writer of this article, they have accumulated 150,000 missiles for use in a future war with Israel. And considering what a joke U.S. border security has become in recent years, it wouldn't exactly be difficult to get weapons across our border. In fact, Hezbollah cells inside the United States are undoubtedly already very well armed and very well prepared for military operations inside the United States. We live in extremely ominous times. One wrong move by the Trump administration could set off a chain of events that nobody is going to be able to control. As I close this article, let me leave you with this chilling warning from the Heritage Foundation. Covert Hezbollah cells could morph into other forms and launch terrorist operations inside the United States. Given Hezbollah's close ties to Iran and past record of executing terrorist attacks on Tehran's behalf, there is a real danger that Hezbollah terrorist cells could be activated inside the United States in the event of a conflict between Iran and the U.S. or Israel. Unfortunately, hardly anyone is talking about this. Everyone seems to assume that all the death and destruction will happen on the other side of the world if we go to war with Iran, but that simply isn't true. In the event of a full-blown war, the Iranians and Hezbollah would be determined to shed as much blood on U.S. soil as they possibly could, and that is not something that we should take lightly. Now, it's very, very interesting, this article. I mean, these things have been noted before, never in the title of Hezbollah, but we've talked about terror cells, Al-Qaeda cells, sleeper cells. We've talked about all these things. And what this article didn't mention at all is who's backing Iran. I mean, Iran has its terror arm of Hezbollah, but we know that Russia and China back Iran to a considerable degree. So when you talk about this big war, are we talking about the sixth trumpet war, or is it something else that's going on? Because we're looking at the biblical lens. We're looking through it at the signs of the times to determine what the heck is going on, right? Well, let me tell you, let me connect the two dots now. First, I shared with you just a couple of articles. There are a plethora of them, of the homosexual agenda, the violent homosexual agenda that is sweeping throughout the world, particularly in the United States, in our court system, in our politics, in our government, in our schools, in our churches, in our televisions. You're witnessing the violent, aggressive movement of LGBTQ, BLT, whatever they're called, and you're witnessing it. And a friend of mine told me years ago on radio, you're going to see the most violent expression. It's going to be worse than anything you've ever known coming from the homosexual community. And so they have infiltrated, like a stealth jihad of Al-Qaeda agents. The homosexual community has infiltrated every fabric of our society and is now forcing churches into celebration, governments into celebration. And before you know it, you are going to be like Lot, living in Sodom and Gomorrah. You will not be able to open your mouth. You will not be able to say a word against these things. And you are going to be stifled, and your righteous soul is going to be vexed every day by the filthy conduct of the wicked. Okay? That's where it's all going. But let me tell you what I saw this morning. Okay? Here's what I saw. And unfortunately, there's no appearance of the president of the United States. This is a criticism of him trying to put a hold or a stop. Now, Josiah. Now, I was thinking about this morning, too. Everybody in the church is going, well, we got Osiris. Yay. You know what that means? That's a bunch of greedy Christians that want Osiris to give them everything they want. But that's not what this country needs. We didn't need Osiris. We needed a Josiah, for goodness sake. And Josiah is the one that destroyed and shut down the homes of the Sodomites. And our president needs to shut down the Sodomite movement in the United States of America. The Supreme Court needs to overturn the laws, needs to make it a criminal act again. Bring it back if we're going to make America great again. Remember, America was great when homosexuality was outlawed, and you went to prison, and abortion was outlawed, and you went to prison. Now we're talking about making America great again, right? I mean, that's pretty obvious. But it's late in the game, folks. It's late in the game. The delusion that has been mystifying the people, the minds of the masses have been under the proverbial veil. And the blindness is great, for the God of this world has blinded the minds of those who have not received the gospel of Jesus Christ. And churches, you would think, have received the gospel of Jesus Christ, right? I would think a church would know the difference of celebrating with drag queens and having little children sit at your feet and deny your identity. I mean, you see, it's madness. It's pure, unadulterated madness. It's not like the old comedy, it's a mad, mad world, when everybody was traveling around trying to find a treasure somewhere. No, the madness of the nations now is terrifying madness. Terrifying. So all these things were going through my thoughts in the last several hours. And then I was simply sipping my coffee and I slipped into a trance. That's the only way to describe it. I don't know. It's like all of a sudden a movie scene appeared in front of me. And I'm watching this movie. Very brief. But I see angels standing just outside the cities of Las Vegas and San Francisco. And I just stopped right there. That's all I saw. And these angels were standing at the perimeter, and they were viewing inside like the angels in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah when they beheld the cities. And then they began to move in to warn God's people to flee. San Francisco, Las Vegas, Nevada. And it just vanished as quickly as it came. But it was as real as life itself is real. And I could see it and I watched it. And I thought to myself, when God warned twice in the New Testament that anybody that would follow the example of Sodom and Gomorrah would experience the same destruction. Good morning, Patricia Joy Xavier. How are you this morning, dear lady?
I am very well, thank you. It's a beautiful, sunny day in spite of everything going on. And guess what?
Oh, what a beautiful morning.
We have one more day to get it right.
Oh, what a beautiful day. You know, it's really amazing. I was thinking this morning as well how beautiful of a day it really was as I looked out the windows and I just thought, you know, Lord, how do you balance this out? And I heard someone say it this way. You know, why would somebody want to continue to preach judgment and wrath and destruction over and over and over again? Somebody would want to say, you know, some very mature people, hey, why don't you go in another direction? And yet they did that to Jeremiah. And they said, Jeremiah, why don't you chill out with your message and go somewhere else and be a little bit more positive? And Jeremiah cried out, I can't. I have fire in my bones that will not stop. I must do what I'm doing. And so, Patricia, it just seems that way. We want to adjust. We want to shift. We want to look at the beautiful days, the chirping birds, the beautiful sunshine, the blue skies. And yet all around us, the winds of adversity are blowing and judgment is at the door and the wrath to come is here.
Well, there's a beautiful side of evil. We are seeing things that are pretty interesting right now, and we need to. We need to be watchmen on the wall. God calls us to do that very thing. Does it mean that we have to be unhappy and miserable? No. This is the greatest time the church will ever know. We are going to see incredible miracles and abundance of divine workings from God that we have never seen before. But speaking of Jeremiah, Jeremiah 49:34-39 talks of Elam. And in this case, the prophecy talks about Iran. Elam is the ancient name for Iran. And here's what it speaks, and it's a latter day prophecy. God will break the bow of Elam, meaning all nuclear missile launches on land, air, or water will be destroyed. The judgment against Elam is very specific, and the language used cannot be found anywhere else in Scripture. There's a disaster coming of epidemic biblical proportions, and we will finally arrive it all in the Middle East, causing a nuclear holocaust and humanitarian crisis of unseen dimensions. The past nuclear disasters of Chernobyl and Fukushima will not even be comparable. You know, there shall be no nation where the outcast of Iran shall not come, says the prophet. He calls it Elam, but Elam is Iran. And the territory of Iran will be badly polluted, and the Arabian Gulf will become a cesspool of radioactivity and contamination, and whoever is saved from the Iranian people will be scattered into the nations of the world. God's judgment of Elam has not occurred in recorded history, meaning Iran, but will be fulfilled in the future.
Yeah, very
Jeremiah
interesting.
Jeremiah 49, 34 through 39.
Yeah, there it is right there. The word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah the prophet against Elam in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will break the bow of Elam, the chief of their might, and upon Elam will I bring the four winds from the four quarters of heaven and will scatter them abroad. You see, and again, what this does is confirm how God deals with things, like the Assyrians that he woke up, put a weapon in their hand to destroy his own people, Israel, because of their great sin. But then later on in Isaiah chapter 10, he says, now I'm going to deal with the Assyrians. And so God is the head of this chessboard. Nobody's going to beat him at the game of chess. And getting back just for one.
And he'll use Trump to be that chessboard. I'm telling you.
He'll use Russia. He'll use the United States. He's going to use everything because it's his world. And, you know, God is just, and he's full of love and mercy, kindness and grace. We are the recipients of that because of our faith and obedience to Jesus Christ. We understand God's love. That's why we're not afraid of these things. And yet we live in a volatile world where a lot of people are afraid. But because Christ is in us and the Holy Spirit dwells within us, we read the Bible and go, wow, look at this stuff going on. But it's not, it has no influence on us. It's amazing, quite frankly. And yet, Patricia, I want to go back to one simple thing. When God was about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, he was on a mountaintop with Abraham. He was talking to Abraham about his eternal purpose. And Abraham was far off in the mountains, and he was moving on in the eternal purpose of God, even during the time when fire and brimstone was raining down on Sodom and Gomorrah. And the covenant people of the seed of Abraham will continue on into the glory of God, even while destruction is falling upon the cities of the nations of the earth. Because we who believe are the children of Abraham, and we are connected to the eternal purpose. And as long as we're living like Father Abraham in faith, in obedience to God, we don't need to be worrying about living in Sodom and Gomorrah. And this is a time, I really believe, a sober time, because we've called forth the summer of violence, and look all around us, what's going on right now, the next level of violence that's on the way.
Well, that's so true, because we have been grafted in the seed of Abraham. We have been grafted into that tree, that seed, and that is Jesus Christ. He is the seed, and we have been grafted in to Abraham through Jesus Christ, the Messiah.
That's what the word says.
And it's what it says. So we have the same protection and also the incredible prophecies that came to Abraham is ours. And so there we are. We are in a beautiful position. And for the Jew who will believe in their Messiah as Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, will have the same benefits in this moment in time as we're going to have. And that is the incredible protection, the incredible blessings in the midst of the turmoil.
Patricia, there you have to get back and ask, what was the difference between Abraham and his nephew Lot? They were both declared righteous. Righteous Lot. They were both declared righteous. What was the difference? Abraham had his whole heart set on Yahweh. He was a man that was driven because he heard the voice. He knew Yahweh. He knew God. He was covenanted with God. He pursued God, even to the point of giving up his own son. Isaac was willing to kill him. That's how his heart was. Whereas Lot had his affection on the things of this world. He wanted to know the glitz and the glamour and the beauty. He wanted to be something that was pleasurable to his flesh. And there be many Christians who were designed and declared to be righteous. There are those that really have a passion for God and those who have a passion for the things of this world. There is a difference, and we need to find out what side of this we are on, because only those of the true Abrahamic heart are going to be able to move forward during the Great Tribulation, whereas the majority are going to be going into the Great Tribulation. Would you say that Abraham was spared that tribulation period, but Lot was right in the midst of that tribulation and had to escape for his life?
I certainly would, because Abraham believed in Yahweh. It was touched upon his heart to know this was the true God. You see, prior to that, pagantry was always the very symbol of gods that ruled the world. It was through Lucifer, and that Luciferian spirit was ruling the world before Abraham. Everywhere, in every place that existed in the world, were false gods and false images, and pagantry was the gods of the people that were there. Abraham believed in the true and only God. It came to his heart that Yahweh was it. And when he received Yahweh and came to the knowledge of the truth in that, Israel became the only country and blessed by God to have a true and living God and not pagan gods. So what has happened in this? There is a great move to make things good, and this good came through the seed of Abraham, and Jesus Christ is the seed through the lineage of Abraham, and we are grafted in, and Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, the great Messiah, is ours also, for those of us who have believed. And what good today is evil being called good and good being called evil? We're seeing it constantly. This thwarted, unbelievable mental illness that's going on. And I do call it mental illness, because calling good, what is evil? And evil, what is good? It's all confused. And in Isaiah 5:20, they said that's exactly what would be said. And you mentioned that earlier. And it says in Isaiah 5:20, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." I truly believe the word of God is living, staying relevant to each generation as we apply it to today. And we're seeing this happen on the news. This has been prophesied to happen in Isaiah 5:20, and we're seeing it right now.
You know, Patricia, I am, and that was excellent, by the way, your presentation. And as always, sincerely, I wonder, the listeners that are out there today, what they're thinking about the longevity of time that they have been hearing the words of God. I oftentimes think about, obviously Jeremiah for 40 years talking to his generation, or Noah for, how many years was he preparing? 100, but they lived a lot longer in those days. And so how do you feel out there today? Those of you that are listening by way of Blog Talk Radio or the Omega Radio Network, how do you feel about the longevity of time of the things that you have heard? What have you done through the years to prepare? And have we not been here before? Think about that. Weren't we here in like 2012? Weren't we here when we saw the signs in the heavens of the blood red moons and the solar eclipses, when ISIS was on the move? Haven't we kind of been here before? It has that kind of feeling, and things would get boiling, and then somebody would turn the heat down, and we just keep going on. But have there been intrinsic changes within our nation? I mean, you look around America today and you look at the things that are now permissible that were once outlawed and you go, you know, all that stuff that was going on, it looked like the end of the world. But what was really happening was the Antichrist was establishing his position in government and politics and all these different things. And the infiltration was going on while everybody was looking at this, that, and the other thing. But now are we really there? And are the masses going, man, I've heard that for so long, I'm bailing out on it. And now it's really at the door. How do you feel about that right now? I'm curious. The number to call is 818-369-0326. Would love to hear your thoughts, your comments about what you're hearing today. Last Sunday, I preached on KERM Radio, and I want to get that message up because I believe that the scriptures are telling us right now that Leviticus chapter 26, we are in a pause in the pangs. We've been there, and that's what the last couple of months was like, a pause in the pangs. And now we're going to the next level. And on Sunday, I was ministering about the next level that would break out in the realm of violence and war. And all of a sudden, this thing with Iran is on the table again. What are your thoughts about it? You know, people are speaking about this, but what are you hearing by the Spirit? Are you the Abrahamic seed? And I want you to be very honest about answering this question. Do you have a Lot spirit or do you have an Abrahamic spirit? Are you connected to Abraham and your passion and love for God that you're willing to even give up the pride of life, your own son, out of your own loins? Are you willing to die and put everything on the altar? Or are you reserving things for yourself and looking for the very best, like Lot was doing? You know, who are you? Because it's going to determine some outcomes of what is ahead, whether you're going into the Great Tribulation or whether you're going to be spared and marked like Abraham was not touched by what was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. But others that were declared righteous were. And I think there's a picture there that we need to see. I'm waiting for your call, 818-369-0326. And when you get on the line, just press 1 on your dial pad. I'll bring you right into the broadcast. And again, we want to hear your spiritually intelligent conversation, your thoughts about what is it that you're witnessing right now? What are you hearing right now? What are you thinking? You've heard it many times before. But like Jeremiah said, I've got fire in my bones. I couldn't stop if you wanted me to. Are you tired of hearing these things? Or are you still being encouraged and compelled and impressioned to further prepare and equip yourself? Are you ready to go? Let's take our first call coming in from area code 479-238. Good morning. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning, pastors. How are you doing this morning?
We're doing good, sir. How are you doing?
Doing well. You know, out in California here a couple of days ago, just traveling, we stopped into a Valero gas station, and they had, you know, one restroom, and on the door of the restroom, they had a man, they had a woman, they had a half man, half woman, and I think the other dog was a half dog and a half human. But they had four figures on there, and you had to figure out which one you were to decide to go in. I asked the old boy at the counter, I said, hey, I said, what's up with all the characters on the bathroom door? He said, if you don't like it, you don't have to shop here. That's
Woo.
What he told me. The earlier when you was talking about them churches out there in Texas and California, and that couple that found peace or whatever, that if they still support the LGBT BLT community, they don't have any peace. You cannot serve Satan and have peace. You can have like fake news, you can have a fake peace, you know, a faux peace, but they don't have the peace that surpasses all understanding, because if they did, the conviction of the Holy Spirit would put them in a place as such that they would get on their knees and cry out to God and say, deliver me, okay? But if they're not willing to be delivered, they don't have peace. All they do is they're on a slip and slide. They're on a slippery slope to hell. Thinking that they're okay, thinking that God loves them as they are. No, he loves them, but he doesn't love them as they are, because God does not love the sin, because sin and God cannot exist in the same place. So anyway, we'll listen, Pastor, and You're right on track. This is a good show this morning.
Well, let me ask you a question before you hang up. Are you guys now fleeing the state of California?
Oh, we're that is so far in our rearview mirror that we're on the right side of the Continental Divide.
All right, very good.
Everything on this side of the Continental Divide flows toward the east.
Man, I'll tell you what, I don't know what I saw this morning in that mini trance, but the angels are viewing what's going on the West Coast, and I think you're going to see it. We're going to see it. We're going to see it. We're going to see it. All right. Well, thank you for the call, you guys.
Well,
God bless you.
It's everywhere because we were seeing the Gay Pride Month everywhere we stop. You know, we're seeing the fruits of it. You're seeing the two women or the two men or the cat and dog or whatever. They're all together. You know, they're seeing a man and a woman is getting to be an anomaly. It's not getting to be the main thing anymore. So,
well, you know, what's interesting about that is, you know, you turn on your television set today and the television is filled with new programs of lesbianism, homosexuality, transgenderism. Our churches are opening the doors, not ours, but churches are opening their doors to this transgender thing. It's in politics. It's everywhere in arts, the entertainment, everywhere. And it's a movement that's purpose. And it's always in the succession of nations. It's the last stage before the conflict. It's the last stage before the collapse of a nation.
I agree. And it's kind of like that story that we read in the Bible about the two highways, right? One of them's real broad and one of them's real narrow. And it looks to me like there's a whole bunch of people getting on that broad highway thinking they're going somewhere.
Oh, man. Well said. All right. Well, God bless you, sir. Thank you for calling in. We love you guys, and we'll see you real soon. Patricia, what an amazing thing that, you know, they're in that situation, you know.
Yes, you know, in 2 Timothy 3:1, it says, but understand this, that in the last days, there will come times of difficulties. I think Bill just ran into some difficulties. And it also says in 2 Timothy 3, but understand this, that in the last days, there will come times of difficulty for this reason, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents. Man, are we seeing a lot of that. Ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And you know, Bill, what I would have done under those circumstances, when that man spoke to you that in that manner, when you asked him what was on that door and what that all supposed to mean, and he said what he said to you, I would have turned around, looked at him and said, sir, Jesus Christ loves you. It's time you get it right.
Yeah.
And walk right out. They need to hear it. They really do. And I think you probably said something to that nature.
I wouldn't mess with Bill. I'd leave Bill alone. that guy put his life at risk by talking to him that way. Patricia, I got to just interject a thought here about, you know, a comment that I made just a moment ago, because I really do. The lines are open. I just want to hear from our listeners out there and hear their heart, hear their mind and what the Spirit of God is showing them. You know, if there's a lot of talk recently that I have not heard where people are more willing to talk about the wrath of God, the judgment of God, the anger of God. And just little by little, we're starting to hear people say, you know what? You know, God has a right to be angry at what's going on. And do you know if you're truly born again right now, that the wrath of God is not some, you know, my ill will towards somebody, but it's like, dear God, please show your wrath and your anger and your power. You know, just help us out a little bit here. And in a sense, it's justified. It is justified. God's anger, God's wrath against the insanity that's going on in this world is justified. And he warns us that these cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, that people will pay the price, even as they did. We're waiting for your call, 818-369-0326. Press 1 on your dial pad right now. We'll be more than happy to bring you into the conversation. Yes, ma'am.
You know, honey, what's happening right now is we're not fighting against flesh and blood. We are fighting against spirits of power, principality, and darkness. We are not fighting the people. We're fighting an antichrist spirit that is rising up right now. Remember in John 8:44, it said, "You are of your father, the devil, and you will do your father's desires." And he was a murderer from the beginning, and he has nothing to do with truth, because there is no truth in him. And when he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. And that's the character you're starting to see. You're starting to see the character of the Antichrist moving among these people on the news and everything we're hearing and listening to.
Well, you're right about that, but that spiritual battle also takes on a physical form. And you're watching that with Hezbollah, Iran, nuclear bombs, and all those things that are going on. Let's take our next call coming in from our dear friends, it looks like, in South Dakota. Good morning. God bless you, Ken, Kathy. How are you today? And Kathy, if it's you, how are you feeling today?
Yes, I am much better. Praise the Lord. I just can't get over the fact that the finger of God touched my lungs, and the evidence was it was clear by the time I had the chest x-ray. So, yes, I've been just smiling, I'm telling you. But I want to tell you about this open vision you had this morning, or whatever you want to call it, the trance.
Yes.
And I went to Russia in 1994, and it was a group of Christians and the pastor we were with. He had a similar thing happen to him now for America, and he was sitting there telling us, and while we were traveling on the plane, and he said in 1994 he saw these two angels, and they were looking at America back at that time, and it was like he said God was sending them to see what was going on. They were checking out to see what sin was on the earth. And he said, I've never had anything like this before. Now, you got this just today. So, and now think of the years that have gone by. And you know what? This destruction is going to cause a lot of deaths. And I think we feel this. That's why we want to warn the people. And there's only one thing. It's Jesus Christ, and turn now to Jesus Christ.
Wow, amen to that. Yeah, I would watch the cities of Las Vegas and San Francisco, California. I believe they are being viewed, and I believe those angels that went down to Sodom and Gomorrah, they're on their way. They're standing at the peripheral, and it's there. Very true. Well, God bless you, Kathy, and we're so glad that you're being all healed up. That's the best news in the world. Let's take our next call, 479-903. Good morning. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Yes, I had a granddaughter. It's been...
You're kind of muffled right now. We can't hear you too well.
I had a granddaughter that spent
there you are.
Two years out there in San Francisco area, getting an education, and she just came back here to the Minnesota area to get away from all of that, and she said there wasn't nothing happy about things. She worked in a restaurant while she was going to school right there down in San Francisco itself, but she said the people, they didn't seem to have any direction, and the young people that she had associated with there, and it as you say, the signs of what's going to happen, it is going to happen.
Yeah, it's actually blowing down the doors right now. And I want to thank you for your comments. It's true. I wish we had more time. We've just run out of time today. Things went rather quickly. Excuse me. Tomorrow we'll be back on the air. with Daniel Seckham. And Patricia, we're going to have to say goodbye now, but I want to encourage everyone listening. There's a Deliverance Roundtable discussion going on right now on the Omega Radio Network at omegaradio.org. One of the best you're going to hear. It's enlightening. It's powerful. And I hope you'll get there. You've been listening to The Watchmen. Patricia, final word, 10 seconds. Here we go.
Yes, 10 seconds. What will yet happen on the face of this earth to come has already been prophesied and penned in the Bible. Know that you can find out, read it, and become wise.
Amen. We love you. God bless you. We'll see you all tomorrow. Get to the Omega Radio Network right now. Shalom.